Hello again, everyone. It's SportsFan86 with Gangrene Nation, joined by my co-host, Andrew, from Pro Football Focus. Andrew, how are we doing today, sir?
Snowing outside a couple of days after it was like 60 degrees here in New York, so I guess the weather is just mimicking my Jets fandom, you know, one extreme to the other, you know, just a punch in the gut.
Hey, you know what? Be glad, because in Arizona, it's 90 degrees right now, and, I'm supposed to be glad. Sorry about that. Anyway, a lot of Jets news broke, and a lot of actual news in other parts that affects the Jets. So, Andrew, where do you feel like starting? Do you feel like doing the Jets news first, or do you feel like kind of going around the horn?
I mean, I think we should start as where most people usually start, that's the quarterback position.
Okay.
And this week, Sam Bradford signed a two-year extension, averaging about $18 million a year to stay in Philadelphia. And Kirk Cousins rushed to the table to sign his one-year contract franchise tender for $19 million. So right now, after those two contracts, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brock Osweiler are the two, I guess you could say, starting caliber quarterbacks left on the market. And of course the Jets had one of them last year and they have to re-sign him. So it's a question as to whether these two contracts signed this week are going to affect the negotiations between the Jets and Fitzpatrick.
Well, it seems like anytime there's negotiations between multiple players, you know, for the same position, what you end up happening is, you know, the person goes, oh wait, I can make that. Now, the question is, you know, obviously Kirk Cousins and Bradford, they have something going on a little bit different than necessarily Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's obviously a bit older. There's really no upside where maybe there's an upside to Kirk Cousins. I think Bradford's kind of in the same thing. I get the sense that Fitzpatrick could use it as leverage. But it also scares me because, obviously, you know, it's a lot of money for Fitzpatrick.
Right. And it's also a matter of if Fitzpatrick's going to want that money, because Fitzpatrick got his big contract already in Buffalo, and it was a flop. And so he has the money, and I don't think he's going to find anywhere else in the open market the combination of the receiving talent he has with Marshall and Decker, as well as the familiarity with the offense as he does with Chan Gailey. So if I'm the Jets, I continue offering him max $10 million a year, because there's no way you can justify giving him 15, 16 a year, especially with all the other guys the Jets have to resign this offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, he's not worth 15 or 16 million a year. You know, only reason you're considering paying it is because you don't have a better option.
Well, yeah, that too, but I would argue Sam Bradford's not worth 18 and Kirk Cousins isn't worth 19. I don't think – I'm not a big Cousins or Bradford guy. I think both of them – like, Kirk Cousins right now is what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. Like, he's not gonna take you anywhere unless he has big receiving talent. I mean, it wasn't a coincidence that Cousins had his best stretch of the season when DeSean Jackson and Jordan Reed both came back. So – yeah, if Fitzpatrick wants 16, 17 a year, I would be in favor of just letting him take it somewhere else. Going into the offseason last year, going to training camp, he wasn't even the guy. Geno Smith was supposed to be the guy, and we all know what happened there. So I could see that front office saying to themselves, listen, we can't give you 17 a year. And if you're not going to take 10, then fine, we'll spend that 10 somewhere else. We'll resign everyone else, and yeah, we'll be screwed at the quarterback position if Geno doesn't develop, because it doesn't seem like there's going to be many other options in free agency. And maybe you'll shore up the rest of the team and hope you get lucky at the quarterback position, because I don't think Fitzpatrick's taking us to the Super Bowl as much as I would like love to think that he would. You're not going to pay a guy $18 million and screw up the rest of your team on a quarterback who isn't going to take you to the promised land.
And besides the fact, he's not even that great. I mean, look, he put up some gaudy numbers, and I know I argued probably the opposite point of, oh, he's really good. But there's a point where even I go, no way. Come on. Fitzpatrick is a nice 1B starter. He's a great backup. Remember when Jets got Jake Fiedler from Miami to back up Pennington, and everybody said, oh, how great that was, because here's a guy who... No, but understand what I'm saying is, here's a guy who could start. He's a bad starter, but a great backup. To me, Fitzpatrick is that half level above the Jake Fiedler, who's, okay, he's a pretty good starter, maybe not good, so he's an okay starter. He'll give you some terrible games, he'll give you some, wow, where'd that come out of games? Right. But then you look at it and go, is it worth that much money? Is it worth over 10% of your cap to get a guy? I don't think so. And that's where you have to hope that Mac looks at the draft and has a guy, and the guy pans out, because I don't trust Geno, and the question is Petty. Nah. And, you know, I haven't heard anything saying, oh, he's doing great. So, yeah, this made a whole mess of the quarterback situation, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was only laughing at the Jay Fiedler comment because it just reminded me of that Jacksonville Jaguar game. I think it was on a Saturday where Pennington got hurt, and then literally the next play, Fiedler got hurt, and they were both out for the year, and then the Jets had Brooks Bollinger playing quarterback for the rest of the season. So, yeah, that's the Jets' worst-case scenario. They have a guy like Brooks Bollinger playing quarterback.
No, speaking of a guy with a B first name, Osweiler, what do you make of this? I mean, if he gets a big dollar contract, who else is out there for the Jets to get in free agency? I mean, at that point, Fitz is probably playing to the market, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there that has a name value.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, but I'd also argue the point that last year Fitzpatrick didn't have name value, and the Jets ended up signing him. I mean, a guy like Matt Moore, who just got released by Miami, is a guy I've always liked. He's available. Chase Daniel, the backup for Kansas City, he was rumored to be going to follow Doug Peterson, who was his offensive coordinator in Kansas City, who is now the head coach of Philadelphia. He was rumored to follow him there, but now that Philly signed Bradford, that doesn't look likely. And then you have our old friend Drew Stanton, who the Jets had maybe a one-month affair with until they made that ill-fated Tim Tebow trade. So, yeah, there are guys who have some sense of upside on the free agent market that are not Osweiler. But interestingly enough, like I wrote a piece for Gangrene Nation this week, and I don't remember who the commenter was, but there was an argument on that comment thread, as there always seems to be on this wonderful website, that the Jets should go after Osweiler.
Oh yeah, and give him franchise money.
And give him franchise money. I'm actually more in favor. I'm a bigger fan of Osweiler than a lot of people are. I thought he was unfairly benched last season. I don't like a couple of games. He had three interceptions, but a lot of those weren't on him. It was more on either he got hit as he was thrown, or the ball was tipped. One of those, and I think he outplayed Manning. But still, you can't justifiably give him franchise money unless you only commit to 1 year. And Osweiler's gonna have so many other opportunities on the market with teams like Cleveland or even like St. Louis, who are gonna want to give him money for more than 1 year. So that's a pipe dream. The Jets aren't gonna go after him, and I wouldn't even want the Jets to go after him, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that front. I think he's gonna get his money in Denver. I think that the Manning show is done. I mean, if Manning comes back, I'll be the first to admit I like Manning. I've always had respect for him. The same with Brady, for that matter, even though, you know, I can't stand the guy because he plays for the Patriots. But you look at a guy like Manning, just ride off in the sunset, let it go, man. You come back, you're going to start looking like Brett Favre. And besides the point, you know, Denver probably re-signs Osweiler, and they gave him a year. And then, you know, where does this leave the Jets is in a pretty precarious position because, like you said, we have the one guy who pretty much was the starter. You know, the only guy I could think of off the top of my head that was a starter for all of 2016 on the market, and he's going to be looking for one last decent payday. You know, it's going to be tough to re-sign him. And you know, one thing that I'd also like to bring up is, how about, you know, looking at last year, the connection he had with the wide receivers. I mean, that's something you can't teach.
Right, and that's why I think Fitzpatrick's a smart guy. And I think he notices, I mean, again, I've said this a billion times and it's been beaten to death everywhere else. You're not going to find Marshall, Decker, and Gailey anywhere else. You're just not. And there are only about five teams off the top of my head that that Fitzpatrick would start for. And if you look at Cleveland or if you look at St. Louis, neither of those teams have the weapons that the Jets have or the familiarity with the system that he has with Gailey. So I honestly think at the end of the day they're gonna sign for $10 million a year, and he's gonna give the Jets some type of flexibility in order to re-sign their own guys, because I think he's smart enough to know that if he takes a big contract, he's gonna hamstring the team, and it's just gonna be worse for him. And especially I feel like he doesn't want to be that guy again, that the guy he was in Buffalo, where he took all that money and it ended up not working out. I think he's at that point in his career where the difference between $10 million a year and like $14 million a year, that's not going to be the difference. The difference is going to be the personnel and the coaching staff, and I think the Jets have the best situation for him on the market.
Now, let's also speak to something. You brought up in an email, you know, just talking about what we could discuss, and you had a point that I didn't think of, but it is such a great point, and that would be, look at the foresight. Forget about how great the Marshall trade was, but look at the current crop of wide receiver free agents this year, and how great was it that we got our guy last year, and we don't have to worry about, you know, similar to a few years ago where it was, all right, it was Decker and what was it, one other wide receiver big name? I can't think, and we ended up grabbing Decker, and it was, you know, the best. It was the joke that if we didn't grab him, there was just nobody else. And we, you know, probably overpaid for Decker, if we were being honest. But how great is that Marshall trade now when you look at the current crop of free agents?
Well, first I'll start with Decker. I don't think they overpaid Decker. I mean, he's making about $6 million a year, which was how much Brian Hartline was making at the time of his contract. And as for Marshall, they gave up nothing. They gave up like a fifth round pick, and they got back Marshall in the seventh. But yeah, you're right. You're looking at the wide receiver class of this year in the free agency. The number one guy at the top of the list is Anquan Boldin, and then you have guys like Marcus Polston, Roddy White, all guys who are past their prime. There's not really much upside on the market. I mean, a guy like Jermaine Kearse is going to make like $5 million a year, and then you look at the 40 yard dash times for the receivers on at the combine. Only a couple of guys ran 4.4, and if you're looking for a receiver this offseason, it's going to be tough because there aren't many guys who jump off the screen. Even a guy like Laquan Treadwell, who people like he didn't run at the combine. They think he might be a little too slow. So it's very if you look at what McCagnan did last offseason, it shows a lot of foresight that he was able to fill that position now as opposed to this offseason where he might have had a tougher time doing it.
I totally and 100% agree with you. You know, it's one of those things where it reminds me a lot of years past where the Jets went, well, we really need to fix this position. Okay. And then you look at it and you go, there's no way to fix it because there's one or two people on the market that are starting quality. And, you know, that's about it. And you know, it's good to be in a position this year where you don't have to worry about wide receiver. You know, maybe you get a 3 or 4 wide receiver. You know, maybe you get a Boldin just to really make things good. But, excuse me. I mean, you don't need a wide receiver. That's the beauty of this thing.
Well, the thing is, the Jets played more 4 wide sets than any team in the league last year. And yeah. Kenbrell Tompkins is on the field way too much for my taste. And, yeah, that was supposed to be Devin Smith's spot. But I think it's going to be very hard to bank on a guy like that who missed all the training camp and looked very, very raw when he did get an opportunity on the field. Yeah, and Nunn was a guy that they could play, but he played a lot more tight end, which is another position the Jets are going to have to look at. So receiver could still be upgraded. It's just that the Jets don't have to focus so much on it, and that they can take a shot in the middle rounds on a guy, as opposed to having to pay Reuben Randle or Rishard Matthews $5-6 million a year, which is untenable, especially with the Jets cap situation at the moment.
That's what I was kind of hinting at, and a great way to put it. Other news for the Jets. Let's see. We got the Wilkerson franchise tag. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I've been saying for a while that at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that they're gonna tag Wilkerson, and they're going to lose Harrison, and that they're going to find a way to give Wilkerson a contract. They're gonna make a deal, but they're gonna lose Harrison in the process, which is frustrating because I think that if both sides really wanted to get a deal done, then it would happen. But it just seems to me like the front office, even all the front offices. I mean, when Idzik was GM, he had an opportunity to re-sign Wilkerson, and now McCagnan had an opportunity last offseason, and they just waited too long, and it's going to come back to bite them because they're going to lose guys that they might have been able to keep if they re-signed Wilkerson in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, the question is, I don't even hear anything about contract talks. Like, it's scaring me because, obviously, Wilkerson was such a big part. Sheldon Richardson's, what, one big arrest or drug arrest in... Basically, he's going to be suspended a year, and then you get into Justin Blackwell territory or Blackman territory, where, you know, okay, is he ever going to come back? You know, that is a great, great point. You know, obviously the Jets have a lot of issues with that.
Right. Before we move on, there's a lot of talk, especially in Rich Samini's articles, that the Jets view Sheldon Richardson as a more indispensable player than Muhammad Wilkerson. And in a sense, if you're just talking on the field, I could see that. Like, Richardson's a more explosive guy. He might be a better pass rusher, but you simply cannot count on him. And if I were a team, if I were the Jets, I'd see what I could gauge on the market for a guy like Richardson, because I don't see anybody giving up a first-round pick for Wilkerson. Because to have to pay him and give up the pick and lose out on the opportunity of drafting a cheap young player, I don't think any team is going to want to do that. But a guy like Richardson, who you have like 2 years of control left with, I think it's a possibility a team gives up a pick. Maybe not a first because of all the drug situations, but maybe you get a high second-round pick and plus another pick or a young player, and then you free up some space and you re-sign Wilkerson. So I think there are so many options for McCagnan, which is why I feel like he hasn't really done much so far in free agency when it comes to restructuring contracts, and you haven't really heard much about the Jets being interested in a guy X, you know. So because I don't think McCagnan even knows what he wants to do. I think he's laying out a plan and seeing what the rest of the market dictates, and hopefully he knows what he's doing. And because it's very different from last offseason, where Idzik just left him millions and millions of dollars to play with, and he just went out and spent it. This offseason, he's going to have to be more frugal, and he's going to have to make tougher decisions, and I'm very interested to see how he goes about it.
I mean, the two decisions that he made that really helped were, of course, Marshall and Fitzpatrick. The one decision that really didn't pan out was Ridley. I mean, was there another one that you could think of off the top of your head that was a complete bust?
I wouldn't call Buster Skrine a complete bust, but the fact that he's guaranteed money this year is a little annoying, because what was so good about McCagnan's offseason last year is that everyone that he got, from Ridley to Carpenter to Cromartie, there are only two guys who had guaranteed money past the first year, and that was Revis and Skrine. So Skrine, he played decent, and he provided a nice blitz off the nickel at certain points. I mean, the play against Indianapolis stands out, where Revis had the interception. But he also didn't – he was average. He was an average player. And, yeah, average players are worth something, but it would have been nice to see Skrine be able to – show something more. But yeah, McCagnan's biggest issue last year was the running back position. They had four guys in Ivory Powell, Stacy, and Ridley. Stacy showed nothing on offense or on special teams in the kick return game. And Ridley, he had a couple of nice runs, but besides that, like, he really didn't show much. And then, of course, Ivory played well when he was healthy, and Powell was not healthy either. It was very odd to me that the Jets didn't draft a running back last year. So that would be the one thing I point at. But I'm not that upset at McCagnan for it because of everything else that he did.
And let's switch to last thing here as we start getting near the half-hour point. I want to talk to you about ticket prices because the Jets just announced that they were hiking them about 4%, which, okay, it's not awful, right? You know, you look at it, I go to Jet games, and when I'm in town, I tend to get them off StubHub and do that kind of a thing. The one thing I'm glad is they're not doing the Yankees where it's, oh, you'll have to go through Ticketmaster Exchange. I like the option of doing either or. That being said, I mean, for some fans, it's just another slap in the face. Oh, we went 8-8, here's a 4% ticket raise. I mean, do you have any opinion on it?
I mean, if they went 10-6, but right?
Yeah.
they didn't make the playoffs, so like it feels like they went 8-8. But
might as well have.
Yeah, they might. It what ends up happening is that the team, the raise is an average about $5 per ticket for non-premium seats, or $1 for each of the five. I'm just reading a Pro Football Talk right now. It goes $5 per ticket for the non-premium seats, or $1 for each of the five playoff-less seasons that have gone by since the Jets last made it. God, yeah, I love TFT, but yeah, I mean, the Jets and their front office have always had a sort of a tenuous relationship, and this isn't going to help much. But I also feel like that Jets fans are smart enough to realize right now that they're on the right track. And I'm really a big fan of this front office and a big fan of Bulls. So I'm not that upset about it, but I also don't go to that many games because I feel like watching it on television is a better experience. Better is probably not the word. Cheaper is probably the word. And but yeah, you don't get the atmosphere you get at a Jet game, but I'm not spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go stand in the freezing cold, you know?
I 100% agree with you. I do have to say the best memories, though, were, just to bring it back, my grandfather owned season tickets for Giant Stadium and for the new Meadowlands for about two seasons, give or take. And the famous story was he would give us the tickets, and I got to go to the Cincinnati game where they shut down Giant Stadium. That was about the coolest thing ever, where basically it was halftime and it was just a party in that game. And John B. said it right. You know, you talk about, well, would they price out the average fan? Let's be honest, the average fan, you know, sits at home, turns them on. Oh, okay, I've got other stuff to do, walks away. Then you have the hardcores, you know. All right, it's Jet Sunday. Everybody knows the routine. No one contact me next 3 hours. You know, you plan your weekends around it. Those are the type of fans that would pay for it. And yet, I know I'm rambling, but it stinks. But, I mean, it's not as awful as some other things could be. It's not, oh, we're re-upping the PSLs again. That would be a joke.
Yeah, I mean, PSLs in general are a joke. But yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. And of course, they're gonna release this news now. It's gonna get lost in everything else that's going on in free agency. So yeah, that part's a little shady. But yeah, I'm not one to get all up in arms about a business trying to make more money. You know, so because at the end of the day, as much as it's a football team, it is a business too. And Woody Johnson needs to make his money, even though, as all these presidential candidates can tell you, he's got plenty of it.
Yeah. Now, here's a million-dollar question for you. Speaking of money, who gets the contract first? Who's the first free agent?
I'm going to go with Fitzpatrick. I think Fitzpatrick's going to be the guy that re-signs. I think he's going to re-sign before free agency opens for about $10 million a year. Just because the Jets are going to want to shore up their quarterback position, and I think Fitzpatrick's going to want to have peace of mind, because he's gone through the moving teams thing plenty of times. It's not like other players who want to test free agency. They want to be recruited. They want to feel welcome. Fitzpatrick's been there, and he's done that. And I think he wants to get everything done already. He wants to go throw with Marshall, throw with Decker, go back into the facility. I think that deal is going to happen rather quickly, and a lot more quickly than maybe the national media thinks, considering all the other contracts that are being handed out to quarterbacks at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, here's some other free agents. Harrison, you think he's gone, right?
Yeah, I've seen Harrison's a funny situation, because I've seen a lot of projections from $4 million a year to $8 million a year. So if he's going to come back for $4 or $5 million a year, I think the Jets could do that. But if he's looking for $8, $9, even $10 a year, then I don't think that's worth a two-down player. At the end of the day, I think someone on the free agent market is going to want to give him that like $7, $8 million a year, and I don't think the Jets are going to be able to afford it.
Okay, Chris Ivory, stay or go?
I think Ivory's gone also, because another team is going to give him money, about $5 million a year. And as we saw with last year, I mean, he's such a fun player to have on your team when he's healthy. But the fact that you can't count on him week to week, it's very, very frustrating. And the Jets have another free agent running back in Powell, who I think they're going to bring back. So, I mean, that answers your next question. But yep. As we saw with Powell, the Jets had their best stretch of the season with him playing a big role. It's the number three option in the passing game. So the running back position in general, with all these big name free agents like Arian Foster, Matt Forte, Doug Martin, Lamar Miller, it's a big market. So there is a possibility that Ivory, maybe his contract demands go down and the Jets bring him back for say $3 a year. But I think someone is going to pay Ivory, and I don't think it's going to be the Jets.
Okay, let's see. Other ones. Demario Davis, I'll answer
done.
For you. God.
God. God. I just read your latest article, and I was like, oh, of course, Demario Davis. Every 2 seconds, Demario Davis in your Whose Fault Was It piece that everyone should be reading on Gangrene Nation. It's on the front page as we speak. But yeah, Demario Davis, he's one of the more disappointing players that the Jets have had in a while. I was a big fan of him coming out of Arkansas State. I felt like he had the chops to be able to stop the run and the speed to be able to rush the passer and hold up in coverage, and he was not able to do any of that. I mean, he was decent against the run, and he had some games where he was able to create pressure up the middle, but he was such a liability in coverage. If you want to just get by Demario Davis, just run a wheel route. I don't think the guy knows how to stop one. So, yeah. I mean, so that I think he's done, and the Jets seem like they're going to re-sign Aaron Henderson to a cheaper number, and maybe go after another player in free agency or the draft to fill that position.
Speaking of a Henderson, stay or go?
No, he's staying, just because of the off-field issues that he has had. And he played pretty decent last season, and I think the Jets are going to bring him back like $1 million, $2 million a year and let him compete for a job. So I think Henderson is going to be in green next year.
Calvin Pace.
This guy just doesn't die, you know. Like for years, I felt like the Jets would get rid of him just because he doesn't really give much. I mean, the one thing I like about Pace, and I think he could teach Sheldon Richardson about this, that he doesn't lose contain very often, but he doesn't just have the explosiveness to get by tackles anymore. So maybe you bring him to training camp, help him develop the young guys if the Jets draft a guy in the draft. But the ideal scenario is for him not to be on the team next year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Great team player, good vet minimum, but you hope at some point they can move on from him. All right, here we go. Steven Ridley, yeah, he's gone. Forget it. I'm not even going to ask that question. Willie Colon, interesting.
I think Willie Colon is a very similar situation as Pace, in that ideally you'd like to have an upgrade.
Yeah.
And maybe someone, and then they got like Brent Vale. Or maybe they bring in a young guy in the draft. I mean, they've done that so often. Like either Dakota Dozier or Jarvis Harrison. Maybe one of those guys steps up and takes the spot. But yeah, I'd like to see Colon back on a veteran minimum deal to see what he could bring. But there's no way you can count on him to last a full season.
Now here's an interesting one that goes under the radar: Duzabel.
I like Duzabel. I think it's more of what he's going to be able to get on the open market. I think he had a better year 2 years ago than he did last year, and no team really came after him in free agency last year. So maybe he sticks with what he's comfortable with and the Jets sign him to a better minimum deal. But, like, I don't think it's that big a deal either way or if he stays or goes.
I like him to stay because I like the idea of even if you could re-sign him, I'd just let Harrison walk. I think you have way too much money in defensive line. And, look, you only play a 3-4 or maybe, a 4-3. It's not like you're playing, 18 guys out there. You don't need to have 8 starters paying 8 guys starting money. Here you go. Just do these real quickly. Quigley, Tompkins, Allen, Walls, Jarrett, Bowen, Owusu. I don't know how to say his name. Sudfeld, Bullock, Lattimore, Davis. Anyone stick out as definitely stay, definitely go?
I like Jaquan Jarrett, and I like Antonio Allen if he was able to stay healthy. It's really a shame that Antonio Allen got hurt last year because I think he is a perfect fit for what Todd Bowles likes to do. I mean, coming out of South Carolina, Antonio Allen, they weren't sure if he was going to be a linebacker, if he was going to be a safety. But that's not really even a question anymore. You look around the league, there are plenty of players. I mean, Mark Barron comes to mind. He's a free agent now, but he played in St. Louis last year. They moved him to weak side linebacker, and he played great because he held up well enough in the run, and he was fast enough to defend tight ends. And I like him to if he could come back from his Achilles injury, to be able to contribute. But the Jets have a lot of good safeties. Rontez Miles played well when he got a chance. Deion Bailey played well when he had a chance. So those guys I like. But the guy that's very it's a bummer to me is Chris Owusu, because I was a big fan of Owusu in training camp last year and preseason. And even the first week of the season against Cleveland, he made a nice play down the seam. But the guy has had so many concussion issues, and I feel like it's in everybody's best interest for him to retire. I don't like ever telling people what they should do in their careers, but it just seems, just for his mental health and physical health, that it should be in everyone's best interest for him to hang it up.
Yeah, I hear that. That's pretty much it. We kind of wrapped up everything. Give you a little preview of who we like to stay and go. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Nothing really. Look on Gangrene Nation for our articles. AJ Hershkowitz for me, Sportsfan 86 for you. Listen to this podcast. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Listen to the Next Fan Up podcast, where I am the representative for your New York Jets. Every team has a representative on that podcast. It's a very interesting experiment we're doing. We're doing a 4-round super fan mock draft, where each fan is going to pick a player, and see what each of their team's GMs they think that they should do. So that listen to that. And if you're into analytics and you're into really strong football analysis, read Pro Football Focus. They're coming more to the forefront of the national consciousness right now, and maybe get in on that a little early.
I like his thinking. I'm pretty much good to go. So thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy your day. Sportsfan 86 out.